Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for giving us this brand new Sunday morning. And only by your grace, we were able to wake up and come to worship you together. May your glory be always at the top of our life priorities. Please receive our worship. As we continue to dig into your word, let your spirit awaken us and convict us and teach us to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we pray everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your prayer. I think as I was in China for the last 2 weeks, I felt your prayer being delivered to God to give me a lot of favor and His love to be able to minister to the people in China. I will have a mission report next week, so stay tuned in that. Jesus said, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples," according to John 15:8. It seems that bearing fruit is so important. It is the way to glorify God, and it is also an evidence that we are Christ's disciples. At the end of the day, we may have done so many things for the Lord, but if we fail to be the person the Holy Spirit wants us to be, that would be sad. I see a glimpse of this sadness from Prophet Jonah. I think he had done what God asked him to do, but he was full of resentment and bitterness. He successfully did what God asked him to do, but he didn't seem to be a person bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't want to be like Jonah at the end of our day. I'm not discounting the need for getting the job done for God. While we need to do the things God asks us to do faithfully, we always need to check ourselves with whose power we are doing the task entrusted to us. So we need to allow the Holy Spirit to shape us. This morning, I'm going to talk about how to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. To that end, would you please turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We are going to read verses 22 to 26. Galatians 22 through 26. And here is the word of God. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." This morning, I would like us to understand the fruit of the Holy Spirit so that we would be able to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So what are the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Look at verse 22 and 23 to begin with. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law." I think the first thing we need to observe is it is the fruit of the Spirit. So what this means is the source of this fruit is the Holy Spirit. It's not about you know, great person or literature or ourselves, but the fruit is sourced from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the main source that produces this fruit. So without Holy Spirit, there would be no fruit of the Holy Spirit as well. So we need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as the source of this fruit that God is talking about. And the Holy Spirit is the one who begins the work in a person by regenerating our heart of the unsaved. And it is the same Spirit who will finish this work by being the source of the fruit in a person in his or her Christian walk. So we believe that God begins and Holy Spirit begins our journey of faith, and He's the one who will make us bear much fruit at the end of our journey. So we know that we can bear much fruit because Holy Spirit is the initiator of this fruit. And if you recall what Jesus said, Holy Spirit will be with us forever. And He said, I will ask the Father and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever. And you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. So this word of Jesus encourages us that we need to, so to speak, stick around the Holy Spirit, who lives in us and who will be with us forever. And the second observation is the fruit of the Spirit is, it's a singular word. This is called a collective singular. There are 9 items, but they are bundled together as one item. Just like grapes are clustered in a grapevine, they are supposed to be together as a unit. So when you talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we are talking about the unity of the fruit. We are supposed to bear all this fruit as a unit. And like a collection item, you need to have them all at the end of our journey. I don't know if you remember, years ago, McDonald's offered Jedi dolls each time you buy a meal. If I recall, it was there were 9 Jedis altogether. I don't know if those 9 is true or not, but there were 9, you know, after a few visits to McDonald's, you come to a stage where you get all Jedi dolls, maybe except Yoda. What are you going to do? You'd go, you know, make one more visit to get Yoda so that you complete these collectible items and lay on your desk 9 of them altogether. So that's the idea. Until you get it all, you wouldn't be satisfied. I think fruit of the Holy Spirit works that way. There are 9 items, and then we would be satisfied when we feel that we actually bear all this fruit from all these 9 areas. And it's not just give us satisfaction, but also it is glory to God, which is our ultimate goal and ultimate purpose of our lives. So what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? To begin with, is love. Love comes first. I think we talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is very important, which is listed 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. But do you know what is in 1 Corinthians 13? It's love. So love is actually the core. Much more important than the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and through 3, he said, if I speak the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong and cleansing cymbal. And if I have gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move the mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. So love is the most important parameter of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What is love? First of all, Romans 5:8, God demonstrated His own love for us in this, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God loves us, although we are undeserved. And God loves us while we are yet sinners. You know, when we truly know this amazing determination of God's love toward us through Jesus Christ's sacrificial death, we can only love God and love others. And we can love others in spite of their flaws. Love is to serve a person for their good, and even if they don't give you back what you brings to them. So it's very easy to love for those who respond in the right way. But love is almost an impossible task if those to whom you extend your love and they would not return in the proper way. That is a test. You gave favor to a certain person, but that person returned with you know, something else, not, you know, another favor back to you. Then how you respond to that person, that is a good test, whether we have love or not. So whenever I look at these 9 items, it humbles me, because I don't think I'm bearing enough love, especially those who pay back with me with you know, revengeful heart, even if I extended my own favor to them. And second item is joy. We can be joyful when we realize that God takes His utmost joy in us. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you, and He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So while happiness, it depends on the happenings of our circumstances. So that means we can be happy, we can be unhappy. It depends on the outer circumstances. So we're not talking about happiness as a fruit of the Holy Spirit, but joy. And joy does not depend on our circumstances. It depends on God. Joy has its root in the God who takes His joy over us, and the God who does not change. So as long as God is not changing, immutable, and in His joy, we can be joyful in the meditation of the Lord, God's joy. That's why Apostle Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice." So joy is a delight in God and His salvation, and it never changes. And David praised God this way: "Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart." And Hannah prayed, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high." And Habakkuk, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." Especially Habakkuk, his circumstances were very bad. The nation were in a deep pit, and yet he was able to rejoice in the Lord, because he was banking on the promise of God for Israel, and he was able to rejoice in spite of the circumstances that he saw. And the third fruit is peace. Peace is our deepest you know, peace with God, actually. And Hebrew word shalom is one of the most common word in the New Testament. Grace and peace. And each book of New Testament has this word, peace. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So peace is the confidence and rest in the wisdom and sovereignty of God, more than our own. You know, I have a friend who told me the other day that he cannot sleep without sleeping pill because he has no peace in his heart. He had to stop his worry by, you know, taking this medicine every night, and he would not be able to sleep without that. Definitely, that person doesn't have peace of God and peace with God. So peace is not something that we can generate, you know, with our own ability. It's something that God has given, so we can rest and you know, find confidence. No matter what happens in our life, we have God with us and for us. So love, joy, peace, they are kind of one triad, one group. And the next group is patience, kindness, and goodness. And these are the social virtues that are geared toward the people. Patience is another word for perseverance or long-suffering. Actually, this is also a character of God. We learn the patience from God, who persevered and long-suffered with the sinners. For instance, God persevered himself 120 years of waiting in Noah's time for people to repent. He had a plan to destroy the whole earth, but he waited 120 years so that Noah was able to build this ark. And only 8 people total were saved. And yet, God extended his patience all these 120 years. And also, before the Israelites destroyed, exterminated Amorites, God actually waited 400 years from time of Abraham to the time of Joshua. So, patience is toward those who aggravate. This is a quality of putting up with others even when they are really irritated, when you are irritated by them. Patience is an ability to take trouble without blowing. And the opposite of patience is resentment toward God and others. And kindness, again, we learn kindness from God's mercy, which is known as hesed, God's mercy, God's compassion. In Hebrew word is hesed. You know, kindness comes with vulnerability out of deep inner security. And we can be kind to others when we realize that God is kind to us. And goodness, it is related to kindness. It is more active term that comes in actions. And gladness is honesty and transparency, being the same in one situation as another. And the next three batch, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, these are inner virtues of a Christian. Faithfulness is a reliability of a person. A faithful person is someone who can be trusted. It is loyalty, courage to be principle-driven. And gentleness is a humble meekness which Christ showed. And it is a synonymous to self-forgetfulness. The gentle person are the one who forget about themselves. Jesus said of himself, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." So because Jesus is gentle and humble, we can be humble and gentle. And self-control contains the first two virtues, faithfulness and gentleness, the quality that gives victory over fleshly desire. Self-control is ability to choose the important thing over the urgent. The opposite of self-control is a driven the impulse, uncontrolled person. So what do you think of these nine fruits of the Holy Spirit? Do you see the fruit of the Spirit in you? You know, Paul is not saying, get out there to be more patient. You should be more loving. That's not what Apostle Paul is saying. The fruit is simply an evidence of your spiritual maturity. Either we have it or not at this stage. And in order to bear the fruit of the Spirit, we need to be more than just trying. Because trying will never make us bear fruit. So this naturally leads us to this question, how to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is today's main subject we are going to answer. I'll give you two principles. How to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, NIV and NASB. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So the Apostle Paul is basically saying that we need to walk by the Spirit. Another expression for keeping in step with the Spirit. So how to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit? So we bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit by walking by the Spirit. It's not by running or jumping, but walk. Walk by the Spirit is a process. It takes a long time to get to your destination when you walk. But when you walk by the Spirit, one step at a time, you know, eventually you will bear the fruit of the Spirit in the long run. What does effect changes in us is when we continue to ask God to make the fruit manifest in our life one step at a time and by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, walk by the Spirit is to walk in a perfect agreement with the Holy Spirit. That's what I mean, walk by the Spirit. It takes one step at a time, it takes a long process, but most importantly, we have to walk in perfect agreement with the Holy Spirit, each step at a time. So we cannot walk by the Spirit unless we are in agreement with the Holy Spirit. If you are not agreed, you will not walk with Him. You will walk with your fleshly desire. You will take more urgent thing than more important thing. And Amos 3:3, do two walks together unless they have agreed to do so. You know, we often find ourselves do not want to go the direction the Holy Spirit directs us. We easily give in to pace with the Holy Spirit, and instead we want to satisfy the desire of the flesh, which is more urgent thing than more important thing. So we give in to the sinful nature with its passion and desires, as Apostle Paul put in verse 24. It is easier and more natural to give in to natural sinful nature. That's why it's called nature or flesh. We have it still. You know, we are not fully redeemed from the natural desire or sinful fleshly desire in us. The Holy Spirit indwells us, but also fleshly desire. It's the warfare of hegemony, who controls us. Galatians 5:19 lists the act of sinful nature. They are sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, fractions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So each step of our spiritual life requires a decision. And thought comes and you act upon it. And when you continue to act in a certain way, then it becomes your habit, then your character. And your character then leads you and me to a destiny. If you walk by the Spirit one step at a time, eventually that will lead you to bear fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if you go the other way, as Apostle Paul warns, such life will lead to not inherit the kingdom of God. What does that mean? I don't think you will go to hell, but you don't have inheritance. No inheritance. No reward, because there is no fruit. And only by the fruit we can glorify God, and your fruit, I believe it is your reward in heaven. A young man came to 90-year-old man and asked, "How have you lived so long and how do you stay so happy?" And the old man took a young man to an orchard and pointed to some large trees full of apples. And he said, "I planted these trees when I was a boy, and now I am permitted to gather the fruit of them. We gather in old age what we plant in our youth." So what we sow is what we reap. And a pastor was counseling an alcoholic. An alcoholic asked the pastor, "I want you to help me by quit my bad habit by the power of your hand. Please pray for me." And the pastor answered, "How long have you been drinking?" 30 years, replied the alcoholic. The pastor said, "You have come a long way. Each time you were tempted, you gave in to your temptation and bottled up. And from now on, you need to make a decision each time you are tempted. Next time your thought tells you, 'I need a bottle,' you need to think clearly and say no to your thought. You need to walk one step at a time to go the opposite direction from the one you took for the last 30 years. As you continue to walk the opposite direction from drinking, you will be a different person. And this is how you defeat your bad habit, and you can begin today." So we bear the fruit of the Spirit by walking by the Spirit in an agreement with Him, each step at a time. The second truth about how to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit is we bear the fruit of the Spirit by cultivating the presence of God. We bear the fruit of the Spirit by cultivating the presence of God. Sanctification, justification is a gift. We cannot be justified by our own effort. But sanctification is not completely a gift from God. We need to react with the Holy Spirit in full agreement, which is called cultivating the presence of God. It's something that God began, but we need to cooperate. There's effort from our part in the process of sanctification. So sanctification is not a free gift from God. Justification is. So we have to work on it. How to work on it? By recognizing the presence of the Holy Spirit all the time, everywhere. This morning I woke up and I found out my mobile phone is out of battery. It was not charged. So you feel a little bit strange because the phone is not near me. So I began to charge. As we want our cell phone always turned on to be able to receive the message or phone calls or information, You know, that means we cultivated intimacy with our own mobile phone. You know, without it, it's kind of feels strange, right? So that means you have an intimate relationship with your mobile phone. You cultivated it because you know what it offers to you. I know some of you are watching still. I don't know what you are doing actually, whether reading Bible or reading something else. It's hard to tell. So it's an advantage that you bring your Bible and read, especially on Sunday, so that I know that you are reading the Bible, not something else. I think we successfully cultivated our intimacy with the cell phone. You agree? I think in the same way, we need to cultivate this art of recognizing the Holy Spirit at all the time, wherever you are, so that we would be in tune with what Holy Spirit is thinking, and then we would like to incorporate what He's thinking and make a decision, our decision based on what Holy Spirit is helping us. And this is art, and this takes some training of our thought. Not just trying, but training our thought. And David, I think he understood this principle in his life. If nothing else we learn from David, I think this is the one. Art of recognizing the presence of God in his life. You know, Psalm 139, 8 through 10. If you go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast. So, David understood the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit can be made available in all places at all time. Even when he was being chased by his enemy, he recognized Holy Spirit is with him. In the same way, we can invite him consciously to our spirit. It's a habit. Some people have to turn on music all the time because his brain is wired to listen to the music. In the same way, I think we can cultivate the voice, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, so that we would be able to listen. He actually will speak to us whenever we ask for it. I will give full report next week on the mission. But let me give you one instance. I was preaching on the healing. As I finish the preaching on healing, the Chinese pastor, my colleague Jerry, asked me to pray for the sick. So I didn't know what to do, and I asked the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, what should I do?" And then all of a sudden, my neck got hurt. I have some, some kind of pulse I felt on my neck and back and knee and the feet. So at that moment, I knew that because I don't have neck pain, I don't have, knee pain or foot pain, but I got signal from the Holy Spirit. So I asked people who have symptoms of neck, back, and knees and feet. Probably about 70% of people having that problem among the audience. So they stood up. And then I pray for them, and I believe some of them said, it's gone and it's much better and so on. I believe the Holy Spirit who can give me answers for any question, but that takes me to ask Him. It's not that I always ask Him. Sometimes I go my own way, thinking with my thought process. But each time I summon myself asking Him, He responded. So I need to cultivate always asking Him, no matter what happens. Even in the job situation or relationship with other people, if you don't know what to do, I think the best thing is ask him and he will respond. I believe in him that way. So we can invite Holy Spirit consciously to our spirit. And it is up to us to practice His presence and cultivate companionship with the Holy Spirit. And all the healing, He received the glory, not me. I'm just medium. I'm just channel. And it's God who does that. Because I asked His help and He extended His help. And He received the glory. And let us think about Elijah. James 5:17 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently. So Elijah was a human being just like us. And in naturally speaking, Elijah was no different than us in that it was very natural not to pray if he depended on his impulse. But the key word for Elijah is that he prayed fervently. And Elijah cultivated his prayer life, and he developed his intimacy with God way before he faced his problems and the treacherous circumstances. So when he faced Baal's 450 priests, he simply prayed to the Lord as he has been doing always, and whom he knows, and God sent the rain. And do we have the same God of Elijah? Yes. But are you praying like Elijah? It's up to you. I hope the answer is yes. A prayer, I think, should be cultivated. And prayer is one sure way that we can develop and cultivate the art of recognizing the Holy Spirit. That's why sometimes we don't know what to pray, and Romans 8 says, pray in spirit, and Holy Spirit will help us. We don't even know how to pray, but in spirit, He will give us how to pray and what to pray. And that needs to be cultivated one step at a time so that we can become like Elijah. So how to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit? The first principle, we bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit by walking by the Spirit. This means we have to in agreement with Him one step at a time. And we bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit by cultivating the presence of God. This is recognizing the need of Him and develop this good habit, asking Him and listening to Him one step at a time. When we do this repeatedly over and over again, we will bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, those nine fruits. When God says that we are bearing His fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, He will be glorified. That's our goal. Not to boast, oh, I have this much fruit, but give all the glory to God who has given us Holy Spirit as a deposit. And as we incorporate with the Holy Spirit, we bear this fruit supernaturally over the course of time. And this is called sanctification. And God is glorified through this sanctification process. And Jesus is our role model for this. At the end of his life on earth, He bare this fruit because He was anointed by the Holy Spirit and He always incorporated with Him and He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the day, He bore all these nine fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we have Jesus as our role model. We can benchmark Him. And each time that we face, we can think this question, what would Jesus do in such a situation? And then ask Holy Spirit what to do. And He will give us answer how to walk by the Holy Spirit. So bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit is a journey of faith. It's a process called sanctification. If you feel that you have not bore any fruit of the Holy Spirit, you can start today. And in due time, you will bear. And by believing the source and the power of the Spirit who is in you, by faith, you can make a right decision. And I can make a right decision each time. And over the course of our journey, we will bear beautiful fruit of the Holy Spirit to the glory of God. Let us pray. Father, we give all the honor and glory to your name. And you are the Alpha and you are the Omega. And you have begun with us and you will finish with us. And you have given your Holy Spirit as a deposit in our spirit so that we know you and we can call you as our Father. And since the Holy Spirit has begun his ministry in us, we know that he will finish. And that the final fruit is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is something that we can look forward with great expectation to your glory. And your Holy Spirit, let your Holy Spirit continue to minister to us as we open to him with our open-mindedness. And let us recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit who is in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My sin was great, your love was greater. wonderful name, what a beautiful name. Jesus. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. You're the Word who was with God. The Word is God. From the eternity past, you existed. And you are here with us. And you are the one who baptized us with the Holy Spirit and fire. Lord Jesus, we ask you to baptize us once more with your Holy Spirit so that Holy Spirit would be a powerful being who is alive in us and who help us to be like you. Lord Jesus, you are our role model. We want to be like you at the end of our journey. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We would be able to bear this 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit. And may your name be always be lifted up and glorified so that your Father would be glorified together. And you are being seated at the right hand of the throne of grace and watching over us and orchestrating your history according to your will. And let our life be pointing to you always. Holy Spirit, help us to bear your Holy Spirit so that at the end of the day we would be like another Paraclete, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our God who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.